And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report here on Global Star Radio Network with our guest, also a host here on Global Star, Dr. Ted Brewer. We've been talking about a number of things. Ted's went through so much information in the first 2 hours. We're going to hit news and other information here in hour number three. I don't know.
Well, I just want to mention, folks, you know, it's a week before Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas. And we just love the this time of year, we fellowship with family members and friends. And but paying attention to what some people would call the reason for the season. And, you know, if you give exchange gifts, for example, if that's what your family does, you know, why not think about giving them something that they can use in the event of an emergency? Visit AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You know what, folks? You can get anything there, bug-out bags, and, I mean, just shop there. A lot of people I've noticed, you know, in my neighborhood, it's really weird. Everyone seems to be shopping online. And so why
not? You
notice
that in your neighborhood?
Deliveries, okay.
Okay.
You know, you seriously, yeah. when I take my dog at home and we walk, and yeah, it just seems like, oh, wow, all these deliveries, and a lot of like Amazon boxes, and so you can do that same thing. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, and give the gift of preparation to others. That's a physical, practical preparation. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And this works well, too, for HealthMasters.com. I will say that, too. You know, give the gift of vitality. Now, I'm going to have to drive down to where Ted is and, you know, hold him hostage for purple sticks. I'm going to have to do that. That's all right, though. And you know, we've got a picture of Ted and his wife on our monitor right now. I think that was picture was taken when what was that, Ted, on your website? You were, how old were you and your wife?
I
think
I was 55 and Sharon was 54.
Okay. He doesn't look much different than that today, folks. All right, he really doesn't. I've seen him up close in person, and no plastic surgery, nothing, you know. Now you might say, well, you know, so what? The external skin, the external appearance of people, well, that really reflects the vitality. Of course, what does that say about me, right? No, just fantastic. So, folks, visit healthmasters.com and give the gift of true vitality and longevity and health. It's really great, as well as AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, both partners in this radio endeavor. Ted, back to you, sir. Let's get rocking and rolling. Where are we going to take us now?
Well, Doug, one thing I want to do is, you know, it's the holiday season.
Yep.
I always encourage everybody to go to your website, and right there where it says donate, if everybody listening to this show would donate $5 or $10 or $20 or $100, whatever you can afford, it'll really help to facilitate the ongoing message that the Hagmans are promoting. Remember, the Hagmans are self-funded, just like, you know, I'm self-funded. And when you can buy your vitamins through healthmasters.com, I really appreciate it, and I thank you for that, by the way. I thank you. And you call us up and you get to talk to us in person, and sometimes I'm in the office and I answer all the phone calls I can with the Hagman listeners. I love it. And we're also going to start taking phone calls on my show for people who have health questions or news questions on the 3 to 4 hour. And this show again will be aired next week over the holidays that I've done with Doug on my show on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week for Christmas. And so that'll be aired, and so I'm letting Todd know that now. But I want everybody, if you can, please go to Hagman. There's a PayPal button there. You can donate. And like I said, you know, $1, $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever you can afford. And there are a lot of people out there right now that I know Holy Spirit's convicting you right now to do that, and you can give them $100 or $1,000. And if you can do that for me and for the Hagmans, and just to continue to bless this ministry that they have, which is literally a ministry, I mean, they never ever ask for money. And if you'll do that for them, it'll be a blessing to them for the holidays. You won't feel it if you're going to give according to your, you know, what you can afford. and you'll be blessed. And I tell you what, it's that good karma, that good given others as you'd have them given to you, that we talked about when we talked about how the universe was made with the four donuts. What comes around goes around. And see, that's how I always look at it. I'm very reciprocal in my relationships with my friends. And I remember the other day I had a birthday party, Doug, for when I turned 60 back in November. And I had my whole house was filled with all my friends, and we had a sit down dinner. And I remember some of my current friends that I made like 4 or 5 years ago, they came up to me, they said, "Ted, a lot of these people have known you for 40 years, 30 and 40 years you've been their friend." I'm like, "Well, yeah. When I make friends with people, Doug, I'm friends with them. I don't change friendships. You know, I mean, I'm very, very loyal to my friends, but I want the people that are listening to you and listening to you every night, I want them to be loyal to you. I thank them for buying from Health Masters, but if there's a choice between, you know, going to Doug's, you know, show and giving him some money and donating to him or buying something for me, go to Doug. Help him out, and let's be reciprocal with one another." Whenever you guys are ready, we'll start on the news.
Let's rock and roll. Yep. Without further ado, let's
get down to it. Here's another interesting thing. Selenium deficiency has been linked to increased risk of premature death. I've known this for years. The Journal of Clinical Nutrition suggests that selenium deficiency is linked to an increased incidence of death over a period of 6.8 years. Selenium is known to work with vitamin E to act as an antioxidant in stopping the formation of free radicals. And studies and results are now helping scientists understand how this trace mineral plays a significant role in the fighting of a number of cancers and other conditions impacted by oxidative stress and selenium. Also, age spots. If you've got age spots on your hands, one of the primary reasons that you have age spots, which I don't have any age spots on my hand that I'm 60, is because I take selenium every single day with our vitamin E. Vitamin E should always be combined with selenium, and it works really well. Another good story, Doug. The New York State Supreme Court says no to mandatory flu vaccinations for kids 6 months to 5 years in order to attend Head Start in preschool or daycare. I am so excited about this. His honor, Judge Mendez, further stated that the New York City Board of Health lacked statutory authority to require such vaccinations. Here is the court order, which I think every parent should print out, study, and save for future reference. Consequently, the New York Board of Health are permanently enjoined from implementing and enforcing forced flu vaccinations on infants and toddlers in order to attend schools and daycare centers. This is a major, major win for us, Doug, and I'm so happy that this judge said this, and they're not going to force these little tiny 6-month-old babies to have immunizations before they go to these daycare centers.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. Here's another article. The European Parliament rejects imports of Monsanto's GM Liberty Link maize. They're not letting them bring the corn in, and the European Parliament has said, absolutely no, Monsanto. You keep your genetically modified foods, and you keep them out of our country. You've got to stay away from this. Here's another article on the HPV vaccine about this girl, and it says, and I get these every single day on my website, my emails. People send me stuff all over the place. It goes, "Our daughter Ellen was a happy, healthy 12-year-old girl who loved to swim competitively and take part in charity runs. She was enjoying secondary school, taking part in the school band, as well as representing her school at swimming and running events. On January the 4th, 2010, she had a first HPV shot, and the second one on the 25th of February. Since those vaccinations, our family's lives have been turned upside down. Ellen now has acute breathing problems, inability to regulate breathing, excessive prolonged coughing, shaking hands with claw-like fingers, joint pains, cold feet, throbbing of the feet and toes, fatigues, full body spasms, dizziness, heart palpitations, gait and mobility limitations. This shot, this HPV shot, is a nightmare, and it should never, ever be used by anybody. I've seen this literally thousands and thousands of times. And everybody, ask yourself a question. There's a fund for vaccine-damaged children in the United States through the federal government. It's paid out billions of dollars in settlements to girls like this who've been damaged by shots. Is it really worth the risk? Because, you see, her parents were pro-immunization before this happened. Every parent is pro-immunization before one of their children come down with autism because of the immunizations, or have these types of problems because of the immunizations. Think about what you're doing before you immunize your children. Here's another great article.
Hey, Ted, can I stop you there?
Yeah.
You know, I was doing some research, and what caught on my periphery was HPV. All of a sudden, I'm seeing everywhere I go, what is HPV? How is it? What is it, and how do people get HPV?
It's human papillomavirus virus, and what it is, it's a virus that renders a lot of the girls who get it infertile. And it can be transmitted from boys into girls, and girls back to boys, back to girls. And it's primarily through having a lot of sex partners when you're very young. And it's one of those things now they've decided they've tried to turn the whole population of young girls into whores through Miley Cyrus, I guess. They've decided they're going to go ahead now and force vaccinate all these girls against this human papillomavirus virus. The problem with it is the vaccine doesn't work, and it causes all kinds of health problems. Now they're trying to force young boys to take it also. And again,
do guys get HPV too, though?
Oh, yeah, they can transmit it, but the vaccine has not shown any effectiveness in either boys or girls to stopping the spread of this stuff. And see, again, it's another one of the it's like hepatitis A. They're trying to force everybody to take that vaccine now, and that's pretty much it cures itself within a few weeks. And the craziest thing about all of this stuff is that they have 250 more vaccines dug in the pipeline. 250 more. I mean, so you haven't. So when the government finally comes in and they mandate this junk, this crap, this vaccine stuff, you know, you got to make a choice for you and your family. I mean, and again, these nanobots are going to be putting in us, and they're continuing to put us in it. You see, they didn't ask us if we wanted to be sprayed with synthetic RNA and inhale it. They didn't ask us that stuff. They just did it to us. They didn't ask us if we wanted to be sprayed with Morgellons fibers. They just did it to us. Because the CIA is so stinking wicked, you know, with this black magic nonsense that it does. I mean, this is the problem that we have. We got to stand against this stuff.
I got a question, and this is from an emailer who asked, is it possible that the Morgellons disease originated from some type of accidental spill or experiment getting out of hand?
No, not from what I've read. I go into real detail on last month's show in the archives. Please listen to that. We did probably 45 minutes on Morgellons last month, if you guys remember. Oh, yeah. I went into all these different papers, what the fibers are, how the fibers are made, what the fibers do, how they get into your blood, what they do when they get into your blood. We went into all of these micro details with this. The Morgellons, again, it's not an issue for somebody who has a strong immune system. Go to healthmasters.com, order the immune system protocol. It is not an issue for that. If you have a strong immune system, don't worry about it. If you've got problems with yeast infections and fungal infections and all this other kind of stuff, yeah, you better be careful with Morgellons, because the body, what Morgellons is, the body gets so overwhelmed with this fungus thing, this Morgellons thing, that it tries to excrete it through the skin. And the body's like its own defense mechanism is trying to get it out of the body. That's when it gets bad. But if your immune system is strong, if your immune system has enough nutrients, enough vitamin D, and all the different things we have in that immune system protocol, I've never seen a problem with Morgellons with that. The immune system is absolutely critical in your body, and that's what the globalists are after. They're after the immune system. Because remember, they want to destroy us. They want to turn us into bio-robots is what they want to turn us into. They want to not let us reproduce. They want to reduce the population of the planet. They want to continue to use our bioenergy and our photons for food. For their demon buddies. I mean, this thing's ridiculous. I mean, when you stop and talk about this stuff to any kind of person who really understands it, you both kind of look at each other and go, this is some weird stuff. You know, it's really strange that this actually is happening. And, you know, but this is what it's all about. And I know the first time I started looking at the stuff that Rush Dizdar talked about with the Nazis and all the other stuff, folks don't realize what a huge influence Nazism has in the United States right now with all of the research they were doing into all this dark stuff with all their satanic stuff, Doug. And you were telling me about that the other day on the phone off the air. Remember all that?
Oh, yeah. We did a show about that last night. Just the geopolitical Nazism, World War One, you know, two and beyond. So, yep, I too.
Well, no, it's crazy. Avoid drugs and surgery for prostate issues with flaxseed. The flaxseed works great for that, but make sure that you grind it before you drink it or eat it. If you're going to take flaxseed oil, I recommend that you do it, you know, in a protein shake, because it doesn't have a real good taste to it. And don't go berserk with it, because it can make you gain weight if you start eating too much of it, because it has a lot of oil in it. We also have a really good product. It's called prostate support, which works great. So, man, if you're getting up in the middle of the night and you're having to use the bathroom all the time, you get some of the prostate support, and I tell you what, it works wonderful. Here's another article. An MIT doctor links glyphosate to autism spike. Dr. Stephanie Steniff, this is from the Next News Network, and this is from Alexandra Bruce. She wrote this. Alexandra's a friend of mine. She goes, by the year 2025, half of all children born in the U.S. might have autism. This is just being done on purpose. And what they're talking about basically is that all of this glyphosate is causing a massive, massive increase in autism. Dr. Stephanie Sneff at MIT says that glyphosate is the root cause of so many growing modern disorders, ranging from the digestive to the neurological, which have their origins in the heavy use of glyphosate in modern large-scale agriculture. And I'm going to repeat this. Many crops have glyphosate sprayed on them a week before they're harvested as a desiccant to dry the crop out, including wheat. And what it does, it increases the amount of crop yield per acre from the combine. It's cheaper to spray it to get the increased crop yield. The problem is the wheat has already been formed, it's already been bared, and you have it sprayed with glyphosate, and it gets incorporated into the DNA of the glyphosate, and you ingest it. And what it does, it actually stops you from absorbing specific nutrients in your body when you ingest glyphosate. The same thing it does to plants. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible product that should never be used by anybody. Just deal with the weeds. What I've done, we have pavers in our driveway. I just dump a bunch of pool salt on them whenever weeds get bad down here in Florida, and I'm done with it. I don't even bother with it anymore. I just forget it. I hate glyphosate. Electromagnetic hypersensitivity from microwave biology has finally been medically proven, by the way. This is a General Health article that was done. And basically what it's saying is electromagnetic hypersensitivity is a condition affecting more and more individuals who are exposed to electromagnetic fields, EMFs, and radio frequencies from radios, televisions, Wi-Fi, dirty electricity coming over household wires from utility companies, smart meters, microwaves, photocopiers, cell phones, and towers. Worldwide, the number of people affected by these types of radio waves has increased exponentially and adds to the other environmentally sensitive related illnesses such as multiple chemical sensitivity, chronic fatigue syndrome, sick building syndrome, Persian Gulf War veteran syndrome, and amalgam disease. I mean, this is something that you have to be aware of. And I'm going to tell you this, and I've told you this again. Please, please listen to me, everybody. If you have a wireless signal going into your house at night for your internet, which pretty much all of us do, turn it off. Unplug it. Don't just switch the unit off. Unplug it at night when you go to bed. You can plug it back in the morning if you need to. But at least give your body 12 hours of rest while you're sleeping. Because what happens is these electromagnetic signals, when they go through your brain and they hit the pineal gland sees them as light. And it decreases the amount of melatonin that it produces. So it messes up your sleep cycle. On top of radiating you, it messes up your sleep cycle and it messes up your pineal gland. So make sure you unplug these things at night when you go to bed. And it doesn't matter if you want to get up in the middle of the night and check your emails. You know, get a life, number one. Check your emails in the morning. Well, you know I'm right. Gosh, I mean, how many times do you have to check your emails every day, you know? Okay. Here's another article from Prevent Disease. It says, finally, scientists admit there's a second secret DNA code which controls the genes. But biologists have suspected for years some kind of epigenetic inheritance occurs at the cellular level. The different kinds of cells in our bodies provide an example. Skin cells and brain cells have different forms and functions despite having exactly the same DNA. There is no such thing as junk DNA. We talked about that earlier. The human genome is packed with at least 4 million gene switches. That's what I'm talking about tonight. They put additional switches into your DNA that resides in bits of DNA that were once dismissed as junk. The newfound genetic code within DNA, the hereditary material that exists in nearly every cell in the body, was written up right at the top of DNA cosign. It's already cracked. It controls genes. Rather than concerning itself with proteins, this one instructs the cells on how genes are controlled. That's what I mentioned earlier. The globalists told you all they do is make proteins. That's just a small percentage of what they do. For over 40 years, we had assumed that DNA changes affecting the genetic code solely impact how proteins are made, said lead author. Now we know that the basic assumption about reading the human genome missed half of the picture. And then it goes on to say, DNA responds to frequency. Let me read this to me. I'm going to continue this. The Russian biophysicist, molecular biologist, Gargay, and his colleagues explored the vibrational behavior of the DNA. The bottom line was, living chromosomes function like holographic computers using the endogenous DNA laser radiation, photons. This means that they are managed, for example, to modulate certain frequency patterns on a laser ray and with it influence the DNA frequency and thus genetic information itself. Since the basic structure of DNA alkaline pairs and of language, as explained earlier, of the same structure, no DNA decoding is necessary. This finally and scientifically explains why affirmations, autogenesis training, hypnotism, and the like can have such strong effects on humans and their bodies. It is entirely normal and natural for our DNA to react to frequency. While Western researchers cut single genes from DNA strands and insert them elsewhere, the Russians enthusiastically worked on devices that can influence the cellular metabolism through suitable modulated radio and light frequencies and thus repair genetic defects, exactly how I told you they turned these base pairs on.
Right.
So they successfully transformed, for example, frog embryos to salamander embryos simply by transmitting the DNA information patterns. This way, the entire information was transmitted without any of the side effects or disharmonies encountered with cutting and reintroducing single genes into the DNA. This represents an unbelievable world-transforming revolution and sensation, all this by simply applying vibration and frequency instead of cutting out DNA. This experiment points to the immense power of wave genetics, which obviously has greater influence on the formation of organisms than the biochemical processes of alkalinizing sequences. This article just confirmed every single thing I told you guys tonight about what they're doing with synthetic RNA. So there you go. Here,
wow.
Here's another article, Doug, and I think you'll probably have a comment on this one. Still in a crib, yet being given antipsychotics. This is out of the New York Times. Andrew Rios' seizures began when he was 5 months old. At 18 months old, he's put on epileptic medication. and then they decided to put him on resveratrol and discovered the drug had not improved him, but they continued to keep him on psychotropic drugs even though he was just a baby. Many doctors worry that these drugs designed for adults and only rarely accepted for certain age youngsters are being used to treat children still in cribs, Doug, in cribs.
Yes,
despite
sir.
Despite no published research of their effectiveness. And this goes on and on. I said there's literally tens of thousands of these children that are in cribs that are being given antipsychotic medication. I don't even know what to say about that besides it's just Satanism.
Well, you know what? You're exactly right. And one of the things, Ted, that I found just incredibly amazing when and I know yesterday, those who listened yesterday to what we produced as far as our topic was concerned, that was with Nazism, the Nazi influence. The other side of the geopolitics of the Nazism is it would be the satanic, the occult, that the experimentation that we imported, you know, under Operation Paperclip, we brought Nazi scientists over. It's under the auspices, well, it's better for us to have these scientists than the communists, so to speak. But we give them free rein, and under the Dulles brothers and so on. I mean, you've got to understand that these were not good people, and the products that they, well, the things that they produced, not good at all. So what we're seeing today, Ted, and this is my belief, what we're seeing today are the fruits of this Nazi occult agenda by the very people who we brought over, and well, we're seeing this. I mean, much of what we're seeing is as a direct result of this. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean,
well, no, MK Ultra. Okay, MK is mind control. You spell control in German, controller with a K. It's MK. It was right from the Nazi concentration camps. It was right from Mengele and the boys. The entire protocol that these guys brought over was from the Nazi concentration camps. And the reason they called it Operation Paperclip, there were so many of, like, approximately 20,000 of these scientists that had worked in all of these different fields that had all this advanced technology in their brains. And what they would do, they would actually look at their files and the research they had done if they were trying to determine if they're going to be put in jail, be tried at Nuremberg, or be set free and sent to the United States with new identities. And what they did, they took a paperclip. And for everybody they wanted sent to the United States, they put a paperclip on their file, Doug. That's why they called it Operation Paperclip.
Exactly. Thank
and,
you
and
for
see,
that.
And you know, like 20,000 of these nutbags, Satan boys and weirdos who like to experiment on little babies in concentration camps got to come over here and continue their work. And plus, remember, yep. the vast Nazi fortune that was stolen from all of those countries in Europe was used to buy up major controlling interests in many of the New York Stock Exchange corporations through subsidiary corporations and interlocking corporate directorships. So the Nazi power, including through Prescott Bush, is still alive and well today. And this is what people don't understand. Hitler didn't lose that war. He just incorporated all of his beliefs and his teachings through Operation Paperclip into our country. And now the CIA is coming out and the FBI is coming out and saying that Hitler never died in the bunker. That he lived his life out in Argentina, which everybody's already known for the past 70 years. Who's done any research on that? Because he made a deal with the United States government to get out. And that's why they didn't go after him while he was down there. And that's why he gave him all this advanced technology. And a lot of that was incorporated directly into Operation Gladio. And also Operation Condor, because remember yep. the German troops that had all these sleeper cells everywhere, and the generals came to the United States and said, we've got these sleeper cells. And the CIA said, well, we'll fund them by selling opium, you know, and heroin and to the nightclubs, the jazz singers, to the black population in New York City, because that's what Chiang Kai-shek did. And that's how they did all of this. This thing is just completely interwoven. In fact, if you read that book by Jim Mars, The Fourth Reich, he goes into a lot of detail about all of this stuff. And so it's just the whole thing's ready. Okay, here's another story. The beginning of the end. Newly discovered superbug in imported meat is resistant to all antibiotics. There you go. The beginning of the end. Perhaps the not-so-distant future is already upon us. Last month, the scientists discovered a gene resistance to colistin, an antibiotic of last resort. The MCR1 gene has been found in E. coli bacteria among pigs, broiler meat, and humans in China. The researchers from South China have also found the resistance to this gene and had 16 hospitalized patients in blood in other sites. The isolates were all very resistant. And so basically what they're saying is they got stuff coming out of China now where we're growing a bunch of our food and shipping it back over here that kills you, and there's no cure for it. There you go. That's about the bottom line on that. Thinking of getting your child... Bottom line, indeed. Well, that's what it is. I mean, you may get lucky. Something may work for you, but this stuff's going to get worse. Thinking of getting your child a cell phone, children can absorb 10 times more radiation in their bone marrow than adults. 10 times. My kids don't have cell phones except for my 16, almost 17-year-old. And, oh, by the way, I have posted my son, and this is amazing. He took Comp 1 last semester. He's 16 years old. Comp 2 this semester at the university. You know, he's in his second year of college now. He's got 42 completed hours. He's got a 4.0 GPA. Got a straight 4.0 again this semester. He wrote, and I'm telling you this for a reason. He got a 4.0. He got an A in his Comp 2 class, and he wrote a paper and turned it in to the super liberal professor on why guns should be allowed to be carried by concealed weapon permit holders on university campuses. I'm going to repeat that.
He got an A on that?
He got an A on it. He wrote it that well. And I posted it on my website. So you guys can go read it. It's like 10 pages long. And he gives all the research and all the documentation about if you allow concealed weapon holders to carry guns on university campuses. And he goes through all the arguments. And he got an A. See, she couldn't give him a lower grade on it because he did everything technically correct. You need to read the article. It was one of the best articles I've ever read on gun control and why they shouldn't be used on university campuses for people that have concealed weapons permits. Did an excellent job. So go to our website, healthmasters.com, and you can read that whole article that he wrote. And remember, he's 16 years old, and I'm just really, really proud of him. Cancer patients begin losing health insurance coverage now as Obamacare sick care system is starting to implode. When Obamacare was first imposed on the American public, it was touted as a plan that would make quality health care available to everyone. The reality has proven to be another story. Take, for instance, the case of Cindy Jacobson, a Houston woman being treated for renal cell carcinoma. Her cancer is currently in remission, but she still must undergo expensive cancer treatments of her recovery. But her health insurance has been canceled, and it is Obamacare. They have stopped dropping plans like Cindy. Now, this is what's going to happen over and over again. They're going to continue to raise the prices on this Obamacare nightmare stuff. Here's another article. U.S. airstrikes in Syria are killing civilians, not ISIS. Now, how you like that? You know, that's what happens when you bomb the water treatment centers, and you bomb the electrical centers in Syria, and you force the people to drink out of the Euphrates River, you're going to have a huge blowback of the amount of kids and children that are being killed by our bombers. Another article, one of the most important scientists in the world, most cancer research is largely a fraud. I'm going to read this a little bit to you on this one. This is a good one. Everyone should know that most cancer research is largely a fraud, and that the major cancer research organizations are derelict in their duties and the people who support them. The above quote comes from Linus Pauling, PhD, the two-time Nobel Prize winner in chemistry. He is considered one of the most important scientists in history. He is one of the founders of quantum chemistry and molecular biology, who was also a well-known peace activist. He was invited to be in charge of the chemistry division of the Manhattan Project, but refused. He has also done a lot of work on military applications and has pretty much done and seen it all when it comes to the world of science. And what he said basically is all of this stuff and all of this research that was being done, even in his life, is almost all fraud with cancer. And he said you could cure cancer with vitamin C intravenous and vitamin C internal by taking it orally. And he said he had tremendous results in curing cancer with that. But, of course, his research was never, ever promoted as true, even though he won 2 Nobel Prizes. So that's just crazy. But anyhow, so, again, this is another article that talks about how the use of aborted human cells in vaccines has been linked to a rise in autism. This is by Brian Shilhavi, Health Impact News Editor. He says, researchers from the Sound Choice Pharmaceutical Institute recently published a study showing a correlation with the introduction of human fetal cell lines with dead babies, such as used in contaminants in childhood vaccines, and the rapid rise of autism. You know, I mean, Doug, what did we think was going to happen when we started injecting dead babies in their fetal cells into other little babies that were just being born? Did we not think that was going to be a problem?
Oh, hey, you know, damn the torpedoes, right?
It doesn't even make any sense. I mean, We put all this squalene and aluminum and almost all this stuff. Here's another interesting article on health, and we'll start on the news. A surprising link now has been found between vitamin B12 and periodontitis. And it basically is a gum disease. And it's saying that if you start taking B12 on a regular basis, you massively reduce your risks of gum disease. And always make sure that B12 is chewable and make sure it's sublingual. That's very, very important, because you only want sublingual B12. You don't want it being subjected to the stomach acid. And make sure that it's always methylcobalamin and not cyanide cobalamin, which is a derivative of cyanide. And that's what most cheap vitamins use. They use the cyanide.
Yep.
And so we don't do that at Health Masters. We only use the methylcobalamin, which is a lot more money as far as the raw material cost, but it doesn't affect the product cost that much, because there's only a tiny, tiny amount of it in the product.
Is your B12 chewable or sublingual or both?
Either one. What I do with it, because I don't like walking around with my mouth for 15 minutes while it absorbs, I just basically chew it up and leave it under my tongue, and it goes away a lot faster that way.
All right.
Phenomenal product. It makes your energy go through the roof.
The final article
I want to read on health is the therapeutic value of vitamin C has now been linked to cancer treatment. Well, I got a news flash for you. It hasn't now been linked to cancer treatment. The Gerson Therapy Clinic back in the 20s and the 30s used vitamin C for cancer treatment protocols and had very good results with it. Vitamin C, when you do it intravenously and goes into the body, it actually turns into hydrogen peroxide, oxygenates the tissue, and kills almost every virus in the body. In fact, I think it does kill every virus in the body. It's a phenomenal product. And if I ever had a problem and I ever came down with cancer, God forbid, Lord willing, that never happens to me, the first thing I would do is start doing at least 2 vitamin C, intravenous vitamin C IVs every single week. And I've seen really, really good results with a local medical doctor that we have in the area who uses that for his patients as far as cancer treatment. Okay, guys, we're ready to start on the other news now. So you ready to do this?
Yep, we got 20 minutes left, so let's get as much as we can.
Remember that guy, Shkreli? He was the guy who raised that price of that one drug from like $7 to $700.
Yeah, he was arrested, right?
Have you already done a story on him?
No.
No, but yeah. I saw the... Yeah.
This guy was one of the most arrogant... human beings on the planet, and what he was doing is it was a drug that was being used to treat the cat brain parasite, and his name, this article goes on to say, that Martin Shkreli, a boastful pharmaceutical executive who came under withering criticism for price gouging on vital drugs, he was basically charged with security fraud charges, and he was freed on a $5 million bond. He is accused of repeatedly losing money for investors and lying to them about it, legally taking assets from one of his other companies to pay off debtors in another. His company essentially ran like a Ponzi scheme, where he used each subsequent company to pay off defrauded investors from the prior company, according to Brooklyn U.S. Attorney Robert Capers, said at a press conference. Remember what I told you about how the universe is shaped like four donuts and what comes around goes around?
Yep.
This guy sowed some bad seed. I mean, when you start hosing people over on a drug they need for a brain parasite, and you start charging them 100 times more than you need to, puts out a lot of bad karma. Here's another article. Denmark is now going to confiscate gold and jewelry and valuables from refugees. Now, I find that interesting. This started back, you know, in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
When people wanted to leave Germany, they had to pay these huge exit tariffs, especially the Jews who were trying to get out. And what's interesting about this now, Denmark's going to start this. And see what they do in these foreign countries is because since they don't really have cash in those countries that they can move out of the country to have it worth anything, a lot of times they will buy gold or silver, primarily gold, and they'll have gold bracelets or gold necklaces or multiple gold bands or whatever, okay, your Rolex watch, for heaven's sakes, whatever they want. Right. And when they leave that country, like Syria or wherever they are, they take their wealth and they wear it on their bodies. And they want to have a start, a place of money they can sell their gold and be able to buy, you know, get a house to give to rent or to buy food for themselves or their family. And so they do this with the intentions of being able to use this in the other country. That's why they do it in most cases. And now Denmark is saying that when they come in, even though they've been invited in, they're going to steal all that from them. I find that morally and completely wrong. If they didn't want these people there, they shouldn't have invited them, and they shouldn't be stealing stuff from them when they come to their country. That's how I feel. What do you think about that, guys?
I'm troubled by this. I missed that news. So what you're telling me is the refugees come into Denmark. They want to leave. They have to surrender their golds and their gold.
When they come in. Denmark, if they're wearing gold, they have to Denmark is to confiscate gold, jewelry, and valuables from refugees. This is submitted by Tyler Durden on December the 15th into, I'm not sure what website this is, but you can Google it.
That'd be Zero Hedge, I think, Tyler Durden. So I mean, what do you think of that? Because now that's troubling, and it's very disturbing because it takes me back to the black metal, I think it was called black metal, right? Of the Nazis.
Well, you know, I mean, the Nazis, you know, they were pretty much non-discriminatory. They would tear people's teeth out after they were dead, or even while they were alive, to get the gold fillings out.
Right.
And that's where a lot of the Nazi gold came from. Plus, also the Nazis were also stealing the gold from other countries. But remember, a lot of the Nazis, particularly the SS with their skull and bones death heads on their caps, a lot of these guys were involved in the occult, and Rush Dizdar does a lot of work on that. He goes into
very much,
you know, and how. And in fact, I wanted to go to that Wieselberg Castle this time, but it was too far north. I want to see that room where they have I think it was Goebbel. I'm not sure if it was Goebbel or what. That wasn't Goebbel. It was the other guy. He tried to blow that place up, but he didn't use enough explosives to do it, and so that they rebuilt it. And so what's interesting about this is, you know, they've got that eternal black flame or whatever they call it. And Rush does a great job. He's a lot better than I am on this. Now, I'm not going to read this article, but I want to refer to it. It came out yesterday. It was by Chuck Baldwin. And it's one of Chuck's best articles. Have you guys read it? It's called Kill the Infidels.
I got a couple of emails on it with the article attached. Well, go ahead and address that, Ted.
Well, what he's doing, he's talking about how there's a wave of bigotry and hatred against the Muslim people, and how people are basically, you know, that Trump's using that, and so is Cruz, to make them become one and number two, and how that as Christians, we're not supposed to be like that or act like that. And then he starts talking about how the Muslims are bad in what they do and how they look at Christians, but then he starts talking about the Torah and about the Babylonian Talmud and what is in the Babylonian Talmud and what the Jews believe. And then he starts talking about the different types of Zionists and what they're doing and how they're trying to expunge Americans' Christian heritage. And he does a very interesting article. I can't say that I can find anything academically wrong with this, and it really is an excellent article. I personally recommend everybody reads this. Now, you may not agree with all of it, because he nails Israel pretty hard, but the point is, he just kind of nails everybody really hard. And he says, basically, as Christians, we're supposed to be walking in love. And let me show the first sentence that starts off, the first paragraph says, so let's see. All over America this Sunday, millions of Christians will gather in their churches to celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace. Adult choirs, children's programs, teen choirs, orchestras, bands, Sunday school lessons, pageants, and sermons will laud the birth of the Prince of Peace. They will hear messages about love and peace and brotherhood. They will raise their hands in worship, smile, and laugh, and shout amen, and get warm and fuzzy feelings all over as they celebrate the day that the Prince of Peace was born. And then he starts talking about, as soon as Christmas celebration passes, the vocalizations of peace and goodwill will be buried amidst a cacophony of hatred for their fellow man, specifically for their fellow men who call themselves Muslims. We might hear, kill the infidels. And he goes to his whole articles like this, and he did a really good job laying this out. And see, it goes back to what we talked about earlier in the show about how we have to change the frequency, Doug. We really do.
Yes.
You know, we're called according to a purpose. We're set aside. We got nothing to complain about. We're in covenant with the Most High. I mean, why in the world do we have anything to complain about or to gripe about? I mean, it doesn't matter what they do to our bodies or anything else. We're still saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. Yep.
We've got to start walking in love and in tolerance. Now, I'm not saying we should be bringing Muslims over here that are going to do jihad and start blowing up churches and synagogues and killing people. I think we need to have a little restraint, not do stupid stuff like that. But we've got to be able to realize that Muslims need Jesus too. You know, and I'm not saying that these jihadists are going to want to talk about Jesus. They might rather probably cut your head off. But the point is, there are a lot of Muslims out there that are open to the gospel. There's a lot of folks that are Jewish that are open to the gospel. There's Hindus and Buddhists that are open to the gospel. Everybody needs what we have, Doug, and we need to realize if we hate other people and we walk in bitterness and rage all of the time, it's going to be very difficult for those people to want to be like us.
Exactly. And Ted, you know, when we talked yesterday about Nazism, I was kind of amazed based on my research and now studying from Russ Dizdar as well as others, including Peter Lavenda, the fact that jihadism in the current sense, in the current form here in the West and also in the Middle East, is a product of, guess what, Nazism.
Right.
You know, Himmler, well, World War One, the Kaiser and others, Max von Oppenheim being one, weaponized Islam. Jihad to fight the colonial powers and fight communism, and that extended into World War II, where Himmler was one who really polished that jihad ideology. Now, that's not to say that the Muslims were not predisposed to that ideology. It's to say that they had a lot of fomenting and backing by the Nazis and even the West. So, just as an FYI.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Doug. I mean, it was all started with that Balfour Declaration. You talk about hacking some people off with the Palestinians and throwing them out of their own country and killing hundreds of thousands of them. I mean, that's how it all. I mean, and so if you want to get somebody really mad at you, go kill their mother, and then go kill their dad, and then go kill their brothers and sisters. Okay, and, you know, I'm not being facetious now. I'm being real.
No,
okay,
I know
it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Why don't you go kill their whole family and see how pissed off you can make, and then bring them to this country? I mean, that's what we're doing, you know?
It's a good point. You can't argue that.
No. Yeah. I mean, think about it. I mean, how mad would you be if they killed your whole family? I mean, you'd be wanting to strap on a vest and do something, too. And see, I mean, we gotta put it where it is, and we have to blame it on. It's Turkey, it's Israel, it's England, it's the United States, and Israel, Turkey, United States, and England are the primary factors that have done this and bombed this whole Middle East into oblivion. And I don't blame these jihadists as far as between me and you. If somebody had killed my whole family, I'd be pretty upset about it too. That's why we got to be really careful bringing them to the United States right now. It's unbelievably stupid. And of course, it's part of the plan to bring them over here now after we've got them all provoked. I mean, you know, it's like taking somebody and beating them up or beating up their family or raping their wife in front of them and then showing up the next day having dinner and giving the guy a gun. I mean, you know, you don't do stuff like that. And that's what we've done. It's crazy. Disney beefs up the theme park security. They're putting in metal detectors now, extra patrols. They're banning toy guns and costumes. I don't really support Disney anymore. We used to have annual passes because I live 20 minutes away from them. And I decided a long time ago that I wasn't going to give the rat Mickey Mouse any more money. I'm done with that place. I could tell you horror stories of that place.
One day, Ted, come back one day, and we need to talk about that.
Oh, Disney World? Oh, yeah. No, I mean, did I ever tell you the story when Austin almost got arrested over there?
No.
Mm-mm.
I can't even picture that. I can't picture that.
Oh, no. I'll tell you the story right now, and you guys can joke with Austin about it on the radio or call him at the office. We were over there one day, and we were riding a ride called Soarin', S-O-R-I-N, which is like a hang gliding ride, right? And it's really a fun ride. It really is. And we had waited in line a couple extra turns to be on the front row to have the best seat in this little ride thing. It puts like 200 or 300 people on at once. And there were like 10 people, 12 people on one row. And there were 7 of us there that day. And my family and some other people were with us. And we ended up sitting at the front row with these 4 women from like North Carolina. And one of them was a real young girl. She's like in her early 20s. And we were laughing, and you know, and we were, you know, we were just laughing. We were having a blast. It was great. And the ride ends, and the one 22-year-old girl walks up to me and says, "You need to follow me." And I said, "Follow you for what?" And I said, "Who are you?" And she goes, "Well, I'm going to have you thrown out of the park." And I said, "You're going to have me thrown out of the park?" I said, "What did I do?" She goes, "You were laughing on the ride." No, you guys think I'm joking. As God is my witness, this is the truth. And I looked at her and I said, I laughed. I thought she was joking. And I said, "You know, you just need to just kind of just chill out. You must be doing a joke." And she goes, "No, I'm serious. You need to follow me. I'm taking you to security to have you extracted from the park." And I looked at her and I said, "Look, you little stinking brat." That's what I said to her. I said, "Go away and leave me alone." And she looked at me and she goes, "No, you're following me to security." And I thought, this is nuts. And so she follows me with her 4 friends, and she's screaming and yelling now for all of us, for me, Sharon, Austin, all of us to be thrown out of the park because we were laughing on this ride. And we weren't being obnoxious. We were just having a good time. We were at a theme park. And so finally, I stopped, and there was a guy standing there, one of the employees at the gate there where we go in, and he goes, "What's going on?" And I said, "She's mad." He goes, "What's she mad about?" I said, "Because I'm laughing, and I was laughing on the ride." And he goes, "It's Disney World. You're supposed to laugh." And I said, "Thank you." And so I started walking away. She goes, no, you're not going to stop yet. I'm taking you to security." And I thought, this is insanity. This is insanity. So we finally get to the outside, and we're walking to the escalator, and she gets in my face. I mean, she's literally within 3 inches of my nose yelling at me, telling me that I'm going to get thrown out of the park. And I looked at her, I said, "Look, girl," I said, "you need to go take your Prozac." I said, "Something's wrong with you." And I said, "I got to go." So I walked up the stairs. Well, Austin got down there and got an argument with her at the bottom of the escalator because she started yelling at Austin because I walked away. So we get out of the Soarin', and we're about 100 yards away from the attraction, and security walks up to us and says, "You need to come with us." And I said, "For what? We've already dealt with this nutbag back there who needs to be on our Prozac." And he goes, no, we've got a complaint. We need to get it taken care of. I said, "Look, dude, I tell you what, I'm going over to the American exhibit on the other side of the park. And, you know, you want to follow me over there, go ahead. But I am done with nutbag, and I'm not going to be yelled at anymore from this weirdo." So we're walking to the other side of the park. And sure enough, I look behind her, about 100 yards behind her. She's still following us, Doug. She's stalking us. You guys, God is my witness. I swear. I know people like that. This is the truth. And so finally we get to the American exhibit, and we're having we're having a turkey leg. And we're sitting there, and security walks up to us. And they said, "You need to wait right here. The Orlando Sheriff's Department has been called about you guys." And I looked at them, and I said, are you guys, like, smoking dope? I mean, are you serious? And they go, yeah, well, this lady has accused you guys of assault. Remember I talked about the frog and the scorpion?
Oh, yeah.
And I said to her, I said, I looked at the guy, I said, you got to be kidding me. And he goes, well, you have to wait here. The police are going to do an investigation now. And sure enough, about 15 minutes later, the cops walk up. I mean, full-blown Orlando Sheriff's Department walk up. And so we're sitting there, and he goes up to Austin, and he goes, she said you hit her, to Austin. And Austin goes, I didn't touch the girl. She's nuts. And he goes, oh, no, she said you hit her. And I looked at them, and I said, I tell you what, guys, you have cameras everywhere here. Just go look at the videotape. Nobody hit anybody. This lady's insane. She needs to be on Prozac. And he goes, well, no. She said that you hit her. And Austin goes, Dad, I didn't touch her. And he goes, I said, I know that, Austin. I was there. I was walking away. I saw it. And she's lying now. And I looked at him and I said, she wants you guys to give her some free stuff for Disney today. And we just happen to be the people she's picking on. And they said, well, that might be true, but we have to do an investigation. And I said, let me explain it to you this way. Why don't you tell her this? This is called filing a false police report. It's called, basically, it's not obstruction of justice, but it's called something else, so you may know the name of it, when you actually try to intentionally mislead somebody to get somebody in trouble with the police. And I told them, I said, now what she's doing is she's obstructing justice by doing this. She's filing a false police report, and what we're going to do is we're going to subpoena the videotape from the escalator to show that she's lying. You can tell her that. Then you could tell her that I'm going to file a lawsuit on her, and we're going to drag her and her whole family back down here to be deposed. And she's getting a civil suit on her because she can't lie like this and do this crazy nonsense and get away with it. So why don't you tell her that before you have a complaint filed against my son? And so then the cop comes back over about 5 minutes later, and he goes, well, as soon as I told her that, she dropped it. She said she's not going to do anything. And I said, you guys are Looney Tunes, man. I said, I don't want to come back to this crazy place again. This is nuts. So the cops left, we left, and I think she got herself a bunch of free hotel rooms, and a bunch of free stuff, and a bunch of free passes, all kinds of crazy stuff, because she straight told a lie at Disney and had the Orlando Sheriff's Department released against my son. That's Disney, buddy. So when I tell you there's love lost in Disney, and I don't support the rat, I don't support the rat.
This was an employee of Disney.
No. She was a person who was there at the park like we were.
Oh. Okay. All right.
She was just a guest like we were. A completely Looney Tunes 22-year-old little brat who basically decided she was going to be a weirdo and start making false accusations. Oh, no,
I gotcha.
It's called abusive process. That's what it's called.
Right. And it's also called being really stupid.
Well, no, but as soon as I told her we were going to subpoena the videotapes, it all went away. But I thought to myself, I cannot believe that Disney is this insane, that they do stuff like this, and they listen to weirdos like this. So that was me in the end of Disney World. So don't go to Disney.
Man.
Go to Universal Studios.
No, I'll tell you something, Ted. Hang on a second here.
Yeah, we're at the...
M-I-C-K-E-Y. No.
Ted, we reached the end of the broadcast.
Sorry about that, buddy.
It's been a fantastic and information-filled show. Folks, anybody who joined us late, make sure you go back and listen to this broadcast. Ted filled all 3 hours with important, timely information that is needed for this day and age and this time we live in.
You'd be the man. Really. It was a great program.
Except for the Disney story.
Well, no, that was good.
But see, it doesn't that really... I mean, the entire population to me is going in that direction.
Well, they're all nuts. They're all going. Yeah. All the drugs are have been put on. It's crazy.
Yep. We have to be ever so watchful and mindful of what's around us. God bless you, man. I'll tell you what. This was a fantastic program.
Yes, it was.
Folks, Ted Brower on the Global Star Radio Network, 3 to 4 Eastern every Monday through Friday, right before Dave Hodges, 7 o'clock p.m.
Sunday.
Eastern on
Sunday.
Yeah,
that's on Sunday. Yeah. Every day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4.
Information packed show tonight, and information packed show Monday through Friday on the Global Star Radio Network. Please bookmark healthmasters.com. Sign up for his newsletter, brother. As always, we really appreciate your time. God bless you, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, guys. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon. Say good night to the audience. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, too. God bless you and your family, Ted. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Until next week, stay safe. Have a safe
and thanks,
and
Global Star
weekend.
Network. God bless.
Yeah.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.